Hi, this is Sean O'Hare from Clear Lake, Iowa. And this episode is brought to you by Ivy Envy Patreon supporters like me. Learn more at patreon.com/IvyEnvy. Next!
Hi, and welcome to this midweek episode of the Ivy Envy podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I'm joined by Andy. How is your week treating you, Andy?
It's going pretty well so far.
Yeah, we're halfway done. We're on the home stretch. Yeah, it's almost summer, and it definitely feels like it out there, right?
Yeah, it was like in the 40s today.
Yeah, yeah. I was telling Andy before we started recording, I was driving on my lunch and actually there was ice falling from the sky. And I thought, well, if it's just raining normal, that can't be hail. That has to be sleet. And then I drove a little bit further and it was snowing. And it is May 20th.
Like classic May snow.
Yeah, right, right. Yep. If you are listening to this on Thursday and you are a Patreon supporter at the $5 a month level or higher, you are eligible for tonight's Patreon hangout during the Cubs Padres game. You should have information that I sent out through Patreon. If you didn't get it, maybe log into your Patreon account and make sure, it's in there. And while you're in there, make sure your credit card information is up to date, by the way. Tonight, log in and let's hang out and watch the Cubs and, maybe crack open a brew or something, if that's what you do when you watch a Cubs game. Whatever you crack when you're watching a Cubs game.
Yeah, hopefully it's something legit.
Right, yeah. Man, you know, Andy, you and I are going to be in Chicago this weekend, and I'm really disappointed that the Cubs will not be home because I'm really getting the itch to go to a Cubs game. I've not been to one yet this year.
Yeah, me too. I mean, that was one of the first things we checked when we found out we were going, is whether the Cubs were going to be in town, and my head drooped when I found out that they weren't going to they weren't going to be there.
It is disappointing. Yeah. But you know what? You just go to Chicago again. You got to find another reason to go to Chicago, I guess.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Yep. If you would have told me in spring training that the Cubs would start the regular season with three catchers, I wouldn't have believed you. If you would have told me that they would carry three catchers through mid-May, I would have thought you were crazy. I guess if I'm saying you, Andy, if you told me that, I would trust you.
Yeah, right.
But if anybody else told me that, I would not believe. I would have been like, you are crazy. But if Andy, if you told me, I'd be like, dude knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, and you just know how good I am at predicting things that are going to happen in baseball.
Right.
But the trade finally came through. I was starting to sweat them carrying three catchers, Wellington just kind of being an awkward third wheel type of situation where he gets, occasional playing time and, a number of pinch hits and not much else. He was traded to the Mariners in exchange for relief pitcher Yoervis Medina. Like I said, just hasn't got much playing time due to Montero and Ross. And really hasn't had that great of a season so far at the plate. So far this season, he was hitting .163 with a .234 on base percentage. It's not to say that he hasn't done some good things with the bat. Like, he has been a pretty serviceable hitter. He's been serviceable in other areas of his game, like his pitch blocking and just general athleticism. But of course, he's developed sort of a reputation for not being a very good pitch framer, and so now he's on his way out of town. This Yoervis Medina that they got is a 26-year-old relief pitcher. He's pitched in the Mariners bullpen since 2013. Over that span, he has a .282 ERA. He does seem to be one of those those relief pitchers that the Cubs seem to like that have control problems, but you know, have a lot of potential. His walk rate this season has been pretty high. He's walked 7 batters in 12 innings pitched so far this season. Oof. Which, he did get sent to AAA, at some point recently, whatever the Mariners AAA affiliate is out there. He does though strike out, you know, quite a few, through those 12 innings pitch. He had 9 strikeouts. So, I've read some articles. According to the MLB Trade Rumors article about him, his velocity has dropped since last season. He was throwing in the mid-90s, and now it's down to the low 90s. But here's a quote. He has a rather promising curveball. So he's going to start in Iowa, and you know, no doubt the Cubs will use him at some point this season when they need another fresh arm. And like I said, he's young. He has 2 years of service time, so he comes with 3 to 4 years of team control if he ends up being a good piece for the Cubs.
Yeah, what I look forward to most about him is now that Wrigley Field has entered the 21st century, or the latter part of the 20th century, and we now have like things like walk-up music and things like that, which I'm sure irritates a lot of fans. But I think that they're going to fall in love with it, because I'm sure that this guy's entrance music will be Funky Cole Medina. And so... I actually have friends that are Mariners fans, and that's what he came out to with Seattle. So I do look forward to that.
Oh yeah, good times. That's I just hope he pitches a lot. Then I hope he gets a lot of innings.
That's the biggest reason I want to see him make it up to the big leagues with the Cubs.
I don't care if he walks a ton of people. Right. You know, just as long as he's funky and cool.
Yeah, overall, there's been a lot of movement on the roster. On Monday, the Cubs officially activated Tsuyoshi Wada. Dallas Buehler was activated from the disabled list and sent to AAA Iowa. They officially sent Brian Schlitter to Iowa. Phil Koch, as we mentioned on Sunday's episode, was DFA'd. Then on Tuesday, they called up Junior Lake from Iowa and selected the contract of Mike Baxter from Iowa. So you probably remember Wada from last year. He started 13 games. He had a 3.94 ERA. He's taking Travis Wood's spot in the rotation. So hopefully he'll be a little more effective than Travis Wood has been here for the last 2 or 3 weeks, basically the month of May. I don't think we need to talk about Koch, do we?
I mean, well, earlier we talked about how it was cool that they left the door open for Koch, but now they've really gotten their act together and they're slamming the door on Koch.
Yeah, I would be content with not seeing him anymore. Speaking of people we never want to see anymore, do you see that the Mariners picked up Kevin Gregg today?
Yeah, I think you texted Curtin and me.
Unbelievable.
That great news. Or no, you tweeted it, didn't you?
I think so. God, how come that dude will not go away? Junior Lake, as I mentioned, he got called up. He's done pretty well in his time in Iowa. Obviously, this is a small sample size. He was there in Iowa for 22 games. He had 85 plate appearances, batted .250, struck out about 26% of the time, and walked about 14% of the time. That walk rate is obviously a big improvement. Were you going to say something? Sorry.
No, I was just thinking, man, just adding a new wrinkle to his game. That's good.
Right. and if you don't remember Baxter, he kind of jumped between AAA and the majors quite a bit since 2010. Oh my gosh, my mind is blanking what organization he came from. I can't remember.
Is it the Mets? No,
I don't. I'm thinking the Orioles or the Rockies for some reason, but I honestly can't. I honestly don't remember. There's your marginal analysis. He, for some organization, he jumped around between AAA and majors quite a bit.
He's been with the Padres, the Mets, and the Dodgers.
Okay. So while he was in Iowa this season, he had a slash line of .290, .377, .330. Basically, along with Junior Lake, he's going to provide some outfield depth. We'll probably see Baxter pinch hit since he's not a young prospect. He's 30. I think the Cubs will probably use him in that role. So yeah, it's been a pretty active few days since our last episode. As far as the transaction wire goes, the bullpen I think is better by removing Phil Koch and officially moving Travis Wood in there, and Wada coming up to join the rotation. And then also with these moves, we're going to see some outfield depth, you know, especially with the absence of Denorfia and Matt Caesar being sent down to Iowa. So,
right. And it makes sense with Kurt Russell.
Well, we found our episode title pretty early on.
You know, he's a bouncer at the Double Deuce. That's Patrick Swayze.
Keep going, Andy. Keep going.
He rode into town on the Pork Chop Express. Anyway, with James Russell and Travis Wood now in the bullpen, that also made Phil Koch pretty expendable too.
Right. Yep.
But anyway, I guess that's all I wanted to say about that stuff.
All right. So because the Cubs had an off day on Monday and they've only played one game since we last recorded, this is being recorded before Wednesday night's game. We kind of thought maybe this might be a good episode to focus on some of those minor league prospects that we've been ignoring this season. The last few years, we spent a lot of time talking about Bryant, Soler, Russell, and you know, several of the guys that are still in the minors. And we really haven't had to focus on prospects much this year, just because the big league team is so interesting, and some of those names, Bryant, Soler, and Russell, are up with the big league team. So we thought that this episode might be a good one to use to check in on those players. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through the Baseball America top 10 list that they compiled before the season started. Obviously, there's a few different sources for prospect rankings, but they're roughly the same players. So I just decided to use theirs. So a few of these at the top of the list have been called up already this year. We'll probably breeze through them a little more quickly. So, Andy, why don't you go ahead and get us started?
At number one is this guy named Chris Bryant, and I had to do a lot of digging to find any information on him. But I was able to find out that he's actually been with the Cubs here for a while now. He's played 30 games with the Cubs.
Oh, yeah. I've heard about this guy. I'll tell you, Andy, when he finally, you know, gets up to a level where, when you finally learn more about him, wait till you see this guy's smile. It's beautiful. Someday you'll see a picture of him, Andy. You'll know what I'm talking about.
Oh, man.
I think someday there'll be billboards in Wrigleyville with his picture on it.
Yeah, and articles on Cubs.com about him liking the city life. So anyway, yeah, he's doing well with the Cubs. His slash line is 290, 421, and 467. He just tore the cover off the ball, hitting a ton of homers in the minors. And so he went quite a stretch with the big league club with no homers, but his power is starting to show as he has four homers in a fairly short span of time. A couple of rankings as far as within the National League that stand out is he is sixth in the National League in on-base percentage and fourth in walks. In just 30 games, he has 24 walks. And he's second among... I'm sorry. And so I found that to be pretty impressive. I knew that he had good plate discipline, but I didn't expect it to show up this strongly this early.
Right. Yeah. And in case you missed the last episode on Sunday night, I talked about how he had at the time, and I would assume it still stands, he has seen more pitches per plate appearance than anyone else in Major League Baseball. Which you just don't expect from a rookie, you know, especially, I don't know. I that's one aspect of his game that I just did not expect.
Yeah.
And it's been a very pleasant surprise.
Sure. I mean, and the fact that a guy that has a lot of power like him seems to be perfectly content to help the team and take those walks when they're going to give them to him is a great sign to me. Yeah. He at third base, he's shown some signs of of life. I mean, he's made some pretty incredible, some pretty athletic and even bordering on incredible plays at times, but he is second among NL third basemen in errors with 5, and he sports a .934 fielding percentage. So he has, you know, at times shown why they considered him to maybe be a little bit of a defensive liability at third base, but he's also shown a lot of athleticism. He's made some great plays.
He had a really good pick last night that either was an incredible play or the camera guy was kind of slow. I couldn't, because after he happened, I was like, well, maybe that was just kind of like a slow camera guy or something.
Yeah. But at any rate, it seems like he's quickly becoming a favorite among a lot of fans.
Yeah. Yeah. I went, actually, it's funny you mentioned that because I had to go to Kohl's today. You're probably wondering where this story's going.
I don't know. I have no idea. Like, is there going to be a clothes purchase in the future?
I did have to buy a shirt. I bought a nice button-up shirt. When I was in there, I noticed there was so much Cub stuff. In the last couple of years, when I usually go to Kohl's because like everything's always marked down, and so I'm always kind of on the lookout for Cub stuff.
Marked down by May.
yeah. And the last couple of years, there's just been way more Cardinals stuff in there. And like where we live is obviously, I mean, it's Cubs territory, you know, but the Cardinals have had a more marketable team, I guess. But I went in there today and I could not believe how many shirts, how much Cubs stuff was in there, and like Bryant stuff. They had like Kohl's had Bryant jerseys. They had jerseys. Wow. And they had like these, they had this shirt that said Chris Bryant and then underneath it said, "Welcome to the show." I was like, what? Like, you just don't expect to go to Kohl's and see that kind of stuff. But. Yeah, but anyway, sorry, go ahead.
No, that's fine. I pretty much done talking about him.
I'm gonna follow up every player with a a merchandise story about that particular player
and like the Kohl's status on like what they have of gear on this player.
Well, gear that I did not see at Kohl's of a player would be the number 2 prospect on the list, and that's Addison Russell, even though we've seen him with the Cubs. I think some Cubs fans were surprised to see Addison Russell get called up as quickly as he did. I know I was surprised. I thought we might see Russell in maybe August, September, maybe as early as June. I think when looking at Addison Russell, I think it's important to remember that Russell, not only is he barely 21 years old, but he's also only played 77 games in the minors above the single A level. He only played in 77 games in the minors above the single A level. He's played in 25 games for the Cubs this season. So that kind of puts it into context how little he actually played above single A. That fact kind of puts some things like maybe his higher strikeout rate into context a little bit. He's striking out at almost 36% of his at bats with the Cubs.
Oh, really? I didn't realize it was that high.
Yeah. So 36%, that will absolutely go down. I have no doubt that that's going to go down. He struck out 17% of the time in his 50 games with Tennessee last year. In his 11 games at Iowa this season, it was 15.2%. So, I mean, that 36% kind of stands out from what he's done at other levels.
Seems like an anomaly.
I think so. I mean, I think the fact is he's barely 21 years old, and he doesn't have a ton of experience at upper levels. And so, I guess you could look at it and say, well, 36%, that's better than what we saw from Baez. It's better than what we saw from Brett Jackson, you know, like, I don't know. I feel pretty confident that's going to go down. So, he is showing his youth at times. I've been impressed with Russell. I think, you know, he spreads the ball all over the field. He hits the opposite way a fair amount. He's taken a lot of walks. He's walking 7.1% of the time, which is not a ton, but he wasn't walking much in Tennessee or Iowa. And he's been pretty impressive in the field, even though he's been playing a new position. And it's also second base is a position that it's not really, easy to play if you're not used to the footwork involved. So
yeah, different angles and throwing angles and things like that. Yeah, and then also
turning a double play is a lot more difficult.
Right. We've seen a few times where he's kind of run into Starlin.
Right.
Trying to figure out who's going to be covering the bag and things like that.
Yeah. So I think what we're seeing right now is kind of what you can expect from Addison Russell throughout the season. You know, I think he's had some timely hits. Even though he wasn't getting a ton of base hits, he had a string of, what was it, maybe 8 or 11 game hitting streak. Even though he was getting like one hit in each game, but I he's so young, you know, and I really do like him in the 9 spot. But I would suspect that we will see the strikeouts drop throughout this season. I think this is kind of the peak.
Yeah, that seems reasonable in the context of his numbers over the course of his career.
Yeah.
Number three is our buddy Jorge Soler. And boy, the guy started out decently, but he's really scuffled of late. He leads the NL with 56 strikeouts in 166 plate appearances, which is a 33% K rate. But in his defense, his strike zone seems to be very broad, just generally speaking. In one at bat, it was the game that AJ Burnett started for the Pirates. I saw him strike out in an at bat where there were four pitches, none of which were in the zone, and he got struck out. And that at bat, he didn't swing at any of them. If you look at the K zone, none of the pitches thrown in that at bat are in the zone. And so it's really hard for a guy to get on track when he's having a good disciplined plate appearance and is being punished for it with a particularly blown out and large strike zone like that. And in fact, I even think that those type of at bats can lead to bad habits and bad tendencies cropping up. So that's particularly frustrating. Still, I think that he will be able to adjust and make some adjustments and get back on track. But right now, he's a guy that just kind of needs to string a few hits together and start gaining his confidence back a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he will. It's got to be, I trust, you know, I think the coaching staff is probably... I think after that game, they probably showed him that at bat, you know, right on tape right away. Like, hey, look, don't change your approach because those right. were four balls that
do exactly
the right thing. Did. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, in the midst of all that, he's still hitting like 265 or something. So, it's not like he's hitting sub 200 or something, and every facet or aspect of his game is terrible.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So those are the top three and the ones that, we see, on a nightly basis with the Cubs. The rest of these guys are still in the minors. Number four is Kyle Schwarber. And, if you don't remember, Schwarber was the Cubs' first round pick last year in the draft. They took him in the number four spot, which, it was a bit of a surprise at the time, but the Cubs identified him as the guy that they wanted, and they were able to sign him under slot, which, left more money for the Cubs to spend on the pitchers that they drafted over the next few rounds. So Schwarber is with Tennessee. He's playing really well. His slash line is 321, 477, or I'm sorry, 447 and 634, which is pretty incredible. He's got 9 home runs. He's striking out at a 22% clip, which is below average, but you know, it's expected from a guy with that much power, I guess. And it's not a terrible rate. I guess when I say below average, what I mean is it's a higher rate than average. I should word it that way. He's walking 19% of the time, which is really high. And I think, you know, when looking at Schwarber, I think what the Cubs do with him is going to be really interesting. If the Cubs want to keep him at catcher, it's going to take us a little longer to see him and his bat up with the Cubs. If they decide that his bat is too valuable to keep in the minors and you know, while he's down there kind of developing as a catcher, or if they feel that he's just not going to develop into the catcher that they want. I think we could see Schwarber with the Cubs this year. That wouldn't surprise me. But if the Cubs want to keep him at catcher, I think, you know, it will keep him in the minors longer. We just got rid of a third catcher, and his playing time would be pretty limited. I think this situation is going to be really interesting to watch. And the funny thing is, I wouldn't be shocked to see this thing go either way. But I think that we will find out over the next few months. I think if they decide that he's not going to be the catcher that they would like him to be, or like I said, if they just value his bat way more than they do him as a catcher, I think they'll move him to Iowa, see how he does, and then call him up if they need him later in the season. That's my hunch. But I honestly think this is probably the most interesting storyline in the minors for me this year.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and it just seems like every time I listen to the Daily Northside report, he's hitting homers and having a huge impact on the games.
Yeah, yep. He is a very good hitter. And you add him into the lineup, if you work him into, if you can keep Brian at third base and you work Schwarber into left field, his bat would be, man, you add that in there too.
That's ridiculous. Yeah.
Look out, St. Lou.
Next on the list was a guy that you put in our notes as CJ Edwards, and I couldn't find anything on this guy.
Oh, yeah.
Turns out that anybody by that name doesn't exist. but then I figured out what you meant was Carl Edwards Jr. He hasn't started any games this season because the Cubs moved him to the bullpen. He's appeared in 11 games with the Smokies. And in those 11 games, he's given up 7 earned runs in 19.2 innings pitched. Over the course of those 19.2 innings pitched, he has 30 strikeouts to only 15 walks. I know he kind of got off to a little bit of a rough start, but it seems like he's kind of getting it ironed out a little bit lately. He's finished a few games, and he's picked up 3 saves also in the process. So he's another guy, like, I wouldn't be absolutely shocked if he continues to lock it down there, that he could maybe even show up in the Cubs at some point.
Yeah.
So I think that the Cubs maybe did the right thing in switching him over to a relief pitcher for now. He's shown the tendency to be a little bit, have some durability issues. And so he is a weapon, and they want that weapon to be available to them. And so that's perhaps their line of thinking at this time.
Right. I mean, we've seen the Cubs recently really kind of struggle in the bullpen and have some depth issues at the bullpen. And you bring him in if that's what I kind of, I think that's probably what they're doing. And if they're in contention in August and September, you add him in there and suddenly your bullpen gets quite a bit stronger, I think, because he can just go out, and pitch for an inning or two and just kind of lay it all out there and
sure,
maybe not have to worry about all that durability stuff quite so much.
Right.
So anything else on Carl?
No, on to the next.
So number 6 is Billy McKinney. And other than Bryant and Russell, Billy McKinney is the only prospect to get moved up a level so far this season. We're only a month and a half in. McKinney came over with Addison Russell in the Jeff Samardzija trade. He's 20 years old, an outfielder. He was a first-round pick by the A's in the 2013 draft. Started off the season in High A Myrtle Beach. Did not last long there. He played in 30 games. Had a slash line of 340, 432, 554. He struck out in just 10 and a half of his at bats, and he walked in 13 and a half. So he's drawing more walks than strikeouts. He's only been with Tennessee now for a handful of games. So there's not too much to glean from that. His walk rate and is about the same, and his strikeout rate has actually dropped. But like I said, it's, you know, just a handful of games. He's obviously young, and I'm not a smart enough baseball mind to look at what he's doing now and kind of project his career path, but he's playing well. And the Cubs probably hoped that they could move him up to Double A fairly early between the Cubs and the A's. He has a good number of games at the Single A level. So I would say right now with Billy McKinney, just kind of keep an eye on him. If he can continue to produce at Double A like he did in High A, that would be good. And you know, just another kind of I think a lot of people kind of saw Billy McKinney as like just a throw in that Jeff Samardzija trade. The Addison Russell was the big piece. And, you know, I mean, as we go through this, you know, some of these prospects that, you know, they're 20, it's just really hard to, it was easier to get kind of excited about Chris Bryant, you know, cause he was like, he, you know, being 22, 23, you had a better idea of what he was going to be and things like that. And he was doing remarkable things at the highest levels of the minor leagues. And it is kind of hard to look at some of these guys that are only, you know, we're going to touch on guys that are as young as 18. It's just, it's hard to look at that, but it's still impressive to see what they're doing against, you know, players their own age and, you know, at those levels. So,
mm-hmm.
Anyways, number seven.
Yeah, number seven is in Double A, and that's fitting because his name is Albert Almora. In 30 games, he has a slash line of 276, 315, and 353. I was thinking after we saw him in spring training, Corey, that he would come out of the gate just killing it, but he's had a bit of a tepid start in Double A. In today's game, he had a violent collision with Bijan Rademacher, but going for a ball in left center field. And apparently they were both able to walk off the field without assistance, but it was kind of one of those plays where you would see it and assume somebody sustained an injury at least. Buddy Bailey was quoted as saying that they would know more about their status tomorrow, but he expected them to be playing again within the next couple of days. So
Almora must be okay because he tweeted after the game or after he went out.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he tweeted something about how he plays the game hard, something like that. But
oh yeah.
You know, but this isn't the, I mean, Almora was on the DL for a week earlier in the season because he sustained a concussion diving for a ball. So
yeah, so he puts his money where his mouth is. Yeah. But you know, I'd like to see that average go up a little bit. I'd like to see that OBP go up a little bit, and I expect it will.
Yeah. Anything else on Almora?
Nope.
Okay. Number eight is Gleyber Torres, and Torres was part of that big 2013 international group that the Cubs signed and spent a lot of money on. Yes, Gleyber Torres is another shortstop. The Cubs seem to be determined to keep the plethora of shortstops into the next generation. He's got a really good approach at the plate, and he's hitting the ball extremely well in the Midwest League for South Bend, and he's 18 years old, which is kind of crazy. I guess what he was 16 when he signed with the Cubs. and yeah, so his slash line is 336, 422, 425. Obviously he does not have a lot of power. I am not a scout, but when we saw him at spring training, and I think we talked about it on the podcast at the time, he kind of had a body more similar to like Addison Russell. That was kind of like what his build looked like to me. That said, and so I guess what I mean by that is maybe a little bit smaller frame. But that said, some guys really fill out between 18 and 22, and power is something that he could develop in the minors, although I don't think he'd ever be considered a power hitter. And I'm going to keep saying it, but he's only 18. And just today, he ended a 24-game on-base streak, which is pretty crazy. And
wow.
Did I mention that he's only 18?
No, you hadn't mentioned that.
Okay, yeah, he's 18. And obviously there's a lot of development that needs to take place. I don't see any reason for the Cubs to fast track him, especially considering he's a shortstop. So if you're in the Midwest, my suggestion would be to take advantage of the opportunity to see him with prospects like Torres. You know, if you miss them in the Midwest League and you're from around here, you know, you're really not going to get to see them again until they're in AAA, which is 2 or 3 years from now. I as long as he is not promoted in the next couple of weeks, I'll actually have the opportunity to see him when South Bend goes to Burlington and Peoria. So I'm looking forward to that. I only got to see him, you know, one at bat at spring training that was over on a, you know, on the backfield. And so that's all I've been able to see. So I'm looking forward to being able to see him, and especially see him in the field, just to see what he looks like out there.
Yeah, I was especially disappointed to see that South Bend doesn't come to the Quad Cities this season. I was really hoping they'd make it out here so I would be able to go see them play, but unfortunately that's not the case.
And we can discuss this later, but they will be in Burlington on a Friday night. I'm playing. We're going to go over there for that. So if you're interested.
Oh yeah. Meet maybe
us down there. And then they're playing that weekend in Peoria, which the Sunday game is the only one I can make for that series. So I will get to see them twice this season, unless I happen to get over to South Bend.
Yeah. And that's a long way over there.
It for is. Us. But it is Mecca.
All right. It's kind of tough when the low A affiliate is farther than the big league team.
Yeah. Yeah. And it kind of, you know, I mean, I live within an hour of three different Midwest League affiliates, but what sucks is they're in the Western Division. And the Cubs have been in the Western Division, you know, for as long as I can remember, with Peoria and King County. And now they're in the Eastern Division. And so, yeah, they just don't come over this way very often. It's unfortunate.
Yeah. Well, that brings us to number 9 on our list.
Although, can I jump in real quick?
Sorry.
Since we're on the topic of the Midwest League, I'm almost positive that the Midwest League All-Star Game is in Peoria this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep. It's in June. I don't remember the date exactly, but yeah. Anyways, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, shucks. Yeah. I need to go to that if that's going to be the case. At any rate, number 9 on our list is Pierce Johnson, and he strained a lat muscle in spring training. So he's been working in Arizona, and as far as I know, has not been assigned to an affiliate. According to a piece by Patrick Mooney that was written actually quite a while ago now in early April, the Cubs are being cautious with him and taking it slowly. But I wasn't able to find anywhere that he had been assigned to an affiliate at all yet.
I haven't heard anything.
My assumption is that they're still just working with him in Arizona and trying to get him into game shape, I guess.
Yeah. So if anybody, I know someone asked that either on Twitter or Facebook, I don't remember, asked us, I think it was in our Facebook Patreon group, but I don't really know. So if anybody, if you're listening and you know any more about Pierce Johnson, actually that would be a great reason to either call the show from within our app. If you can download the free IVNV iOS app and you can call the show from in there, or you can call it directly. And I'm trying to find the phone number right now. You can call 309-517-0624. That's our phone number. It just goes to a voicemail. If you have any information on Pierce Johnson, or you know, if you have any comments on anything that we talk about on this or any other episode, we've said that we will play those voicemails of your guys' takes on things or any opinions that you have on the Cubs, whether we talked about those topics or not. We will play them at the end of shows. We don't have one for this week, but I really enjoy kind of throwing those on at the end, and I think it's good to hear, you know, what other people are thinking too. So that brings us to number 10, the last one on the list, and that is Dwayne Underwood Jr. Underwood was selected by the Cubs in the second round of the 2012 draft. He pitched for Kane County last year, and now he is with Myrtle Beach, and he's doing very well this season. He's 4-0 with a 1.09 ERA in six starts. He will turn 21 in a few months. He's dropped his walk rate this season. His BABIP is low, and his FIP is a few runs higher than his ERA. So if you look at those two things, Underwood is probably going to come back down to earth at some point. I don't think he's really a 1.09 ERA pitcher. But I guess we'll sit back and watch and see what happens. But Underwood is not, you know, he's also not on any fast track. I would expect him to spend about a full season at every level. With him being with Myrtle Beach now and High A, that's plenty of time to see whether or not he will pan out. So that's what I have on Dwayne Underwood Jr.
All right.
And so that was kind of a quick look at the prospects. If you're interested in keeping up on these guys and the other prospects in the Cubs system, check out the Daily Northside Recap. And it is a daily Monday through Friday podcast. It's about 3 to 5 minutes long. And what I do in that podcast is I go over the previous day's games in the Cubs organization and talk about the performances of the teams and those individual players. So it's available in all the places that you would listen to podcasts, iTunes, the iOS podcast app, Stitcher, any of the other podcast apps. And actually, here in the next couple of months, the Daily Northside Recap and Ivy Envy will be in Spotify. That's new.
That's pretty cool. Today. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And another thing too is I submitted all of the information and everything. We finally got it all ready, and I submitted our Android app today. So I would hope maybe within a few weeks. Last time I said that about the iOS app, it was about a month and a half, so I don't know. But it has been submitted to Google and everything. So that is on its way.
Cool. I know there were a number of people looking forward to that, I should say.
Yeah. And I really appreciate all the feedback that we've gotten about the app. A lot of people like it, and I love that I get emails. I think it's easier for people to email, and so that's cool, because I don't know, it seems like every time I open up my email, and the subject line when it comes from the app says, I have something to say. That's what it says. So the very first time I got one, and I was like, it said, I have something to say. And I think it was like somebody has probably interacted with us before, because I recognized the email address. And like, I was like, oh man, somebody's going to like, like just rip into me if the subject line is, I have something to say.
And it turned out being a really nice email, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But so if you have an iOS, you know, device, iPhone, iPad, anything like that, check it out. It's free. And it's in the iOS app store, or you can find, you know, if you go to ivmv.com/iOS from that device, it'll take you right to it. So
nice. Can I say that Anthony Rizzo got hit by a pitch again tonight? In tonight's game, and the Cubs have pulled a double steal already in the first inning. Nice.
Let's wrap this thing up so we can watch some Cubs before I conk out and fall asleep.
Yeah, sounds good.
So that does it for this midweek episode. This episode was brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters. And if you enjoy this podcast and you would like to help us keep it going, you can do so through our Patreon campaign. And pledging levels start as low as $1 a month. And you can check it out at patreon.com/IVNB. That's patreon.com/IVNB. So Andy, Kurt, and I will be back on Sunday night to talk about the rest of this Padres series and then the series with Arizona. Thank you for listening, and until Sunday night, go Cubs!